Yeah. It's the spirit. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm just so happy to be home. I'm sorry that I have to use this because I had a kind of a mistake with my fancy online printer. It's told me that there's something wrong and I don't know what it is. So I have to do it like this today. And I forgot the password to my tablet. So, and my finger, which is meant to press on the password. You know how you have a finger, an imprint with your finger that's meant to just unlock everything in your password? Well, my fingertip has changed. That's all I can say. It just doesn't work anymore. It used to work, but it doesn't. I can't remember doing anything to my finger, but it just doesn't work anymore. Pastor Rex Meehan, do you remember Rex Meehan? He's in glory now. He's with the Lord. Wow. So Pastor Rex Meehan said, not only is God the King of His kingdom, He's also our Father, and the church is His family business. You like that? The church is His family business. God is the King of the universe, the King of His kingdom. He's also our Father, and the church is His family business. At this time of the year, I get to travel around a little bit, and I go to a lot of churches or a number of different churches, and you know what? Each one is a great family of God, and I'm going to stress family today because we've had two very good teachings about family. They should be taken and printed, in my humble opinion. Greg and Ryan, the job that you've done the 2 weeks that you spoke about family was if we lived by that, we would have exemplary families in this world. And I'm telling you that no matter how you regard your family, you know, I don't want you to think while I'm talking that I'm just talking about the great nuclear family. What I'm talking about is the family that God makes. And the key to the family that God makes is that God is the head of the family. All right? That God is the head of the family. That kind of takes it out of the creation nuclear kind of thing, you know? So the way we think about it. So the church is a family business. And so there's a great link between church and family. And I just want to talk about that. Very pleased to be home in my family today. Very pleased. This family of God has just blessed me so much this week. Last Sunday, John Kohler. Look, if we took the words that were spoken to us on a weekly basis and just dwelt on them through the week, we would be, that's one word. It's not enough, though, you know, transformed. I was going to say glorified, but it's too early for that yet. Glorification's coming down the pike for us. But, you know, change, transformed. Yeah, that was, whenever he comes, he just knocks me out with what the Lord has planted in his heart for us. So that was a real blessing. That's Sunday. Monday, the Memorial Day picnic. My goodness me, that was fantastic. And let me tell you, it wasn't just the fellowship that I had with Paula or the others, you know, that I fellowshiped with. It wasn't just that. Do you know what really blessed me? What really blessed me was that the Living Word kids that I have seen for years and years and years as kids, right? They're growing up and they're walking with the Lord. And they were there. And, you know, I was the last CCC person to leave. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. And it was time to go. We were meant to shut the thing down at 4 o'clock, you know. So anyway, all these kids are still there. And I was talking to John Rundle. And John, I said, John, he was ready to go like me. And he's standing there and I'm standing there. And a couple of the other guys, you know, that like to get moving and get home, they're standing there. And they're not going. I said, aren't you going, guys? And they said, well, we went over to our kids. And they said, Dad, we're having fellowship. And I thought, you cunning little blighters. You know, they're using good religious terminology to con their parents into staying an extra half an hour or so. Dad, we're having fellowship. Dad, that's kids. Kids, yeah, well, not kids. They're 19, 20-year-olds now. Dad, we're having fellowship. And I thought, you know, fantastic. So it was good to see that once again. While I was away, I listened to the teaching that we had the 2 weeks before John Kohler. Great teaching about the family of God. I've already mentioned that. And I just want to throw in also that twice, this illustrates family. Some of you will identify with this. Twice during the week, twice, I was accused of wheezing while performing great acts of strength. I was accused of wheezing. Now, I'm not quite sure what wheezing is. It's a foreign word to me. Right? But I was lifting some air conditioning units into the window, and a person who shall remain nameless, they're not here this morning, but they'll remain nameless, they accused me. They said, well, you know, this will give it away. Is there something I can do to help you? Do you know who it is now? You got it? And I just looked. And she said, well, I'm offering to help because you're wheezing. You know? And my first thought was, you cheeky little thing, you know? and then I thought, no, wait a minute. That is one of the sweetest things I've heard in a... It's all, my wife is the other one that said it to me. Now, you know, okay, so my wife tells me I'm wheezing. That's a wife's job, right? but this other lady, she just looked at me with those eyes, and she was really concerned. I guess she thought I was going to have a heart attack or something. I don't know. But anyway, I thought, man, this is family. This is family at work, isn't it? This is family at work. So that was a blessing, getting told that you're a wheezer by your family members. Then Thursday night, where's it gone? Oh, it came back. Wonderful. Yes, my 20-year-old computer's still working. On Thursday night, we had the Early Learning Centre graduation here. It's working, folks. It's working. Once again, people in here that I've never seen before, they're in here for the kids to sing scripture and song. It's amazing. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm just so blown away by that. It's working. And then on Friday, Thursday's followed by Friday. Friday, I came to the conclusion that age and wheezing go together. So there was that. And then I got a call early Saturday morning from another wheezer. and it was impressive. It was Jane Charlie, actually. What impressed me first was that she has a phone that can video, Mike. What is she doing with a phone that can video? All right. And the same thing came up, and I didn't even know how to use the video on my phone. But that she's there, and do you know what's happened with Jane Charlie? She wanted to ring me up and just notify me of something that's happening in the home that she's in. She's really enjoying herself. But the thing is that she is being Christ to a lonely old man, a hearing-impaired septuagenarian. Can you spell that? I use that word. Do you want to know why I use that word? Because I'm 65, and when I turn 70, I'll be a septuagenarian. Yes, I was going to say, and that's what you are. So there she is. She's in this home. She's one of them herself, one of those septos herself. And she is being Jesus Christ to a lonely, hearing impaired. She has decided that whenever she can, she's going to have meals with that person. Because he's deaf, you see. He really is deaf. His family but anyway, he's being abused, right? Elder abuse. And so she's taking, you know what she's like. She's taking it upon herself just to be there for him, to be Christ to that guy. And I thought, so, man, from kids, scripture and song, through to a septuagenarian, there are people that are not just talking about being Christians, they're doing it. They're doing it. And that's a great thing. Friday, I have a great day planner, and it reminds me of things. What it reminded me of on Friday was that Friday was Ascension Day. Friday was Ascension Day. That's the day. And so, look, if you could put that scripture up, and look, you might think that I'm taking one of the old Phil Underwood rabbit trails here, but it does all link in. I'm going to weave it in. Stop laughing over there. It's going to weave in. You're going to see that this really fits. And so you've got this guy, Luke. He wrote the book of Luke. And now he's writing to another guy called Theophilus, which means God-fearer. All right? He's writing to this guy, the God-fearer. And he's going to tell, in a few minutes, he's going to tell Theophilus about what he's being told. You see, what has happened with Luke is that what he has received, he is now passing on as of first importance. There were some things that the apostles and the writers of the epistles knew they had to pass on to other people, passed on as of first importance. This thing of ascension is of first importance, and it's something that we can't let just drop off and forget about. Because if we do, Paul says we're the most miserable of all people. Easter's death and resurrection has won life for us, right? We celebrated that. Now, I'm not too enthusiastic or too concerned at all about the dates on which we celebrate these things. That's not the point. They're written on God's calendar. That is the point. All right? Our calendar may not be the same as God's calendar. I'm not going to get into a fuss about that. Fact of the matter is that because Christ Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead on the third day, I have new life. And I'm in his family. All right? That is a great thing. Some days later, after meeting with his disciples, he ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he told his disciples that he had to go so the Holy Spirit could come and live in us. The family of the Godhead lives in us. I'm a Trinitarian. I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You want to know why? Because to go modalistic and believe that God is just one God who expresses himself as the Father or as the Son or as the Holy, it just takes away this total beauty of the fact that you have three distinct personalities living in perfect harmony voluntarily. So I choose to believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three distinct people living together in perfect harmony. And through the Holy Spirit of God, they live in me, and they live in you, and they live in Jane Charlie. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Wonderful thing. Friday, Ascension Day, our Father's in heaven, and we're at his right hand in Christ Jesus. And until this age comes to an end, the Holy Spirit empowers us. And that's what this morning was about. Overcoming? You can't overcome in your own strength. You've got some rotten aspect of the flesh that's dragging at your heels, nipping you in the butt, pulling you down time and time and time again. You try and beat it your way, and you will lose. Every time. Right? You beat it by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and you will win. Holy Spirit is living in us. The family of God lives in us. The family of God lives in us. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? After that Friday, we had Saturday, didn't we? We had Saturday. And we had a men's breakfast on Saturday. And hang on a minute. I hate doing it this way. I really do. Wait a moment. Here we go. We had Saturday. Come on. We had Saturday. There we go. We had Saturday and men's breakfast. All right? That was a bit of spit. Men's breakfast. I want to tell you that at men's breakfast, we had a fantastic testimony from Tony Tullio. And then Hoss Piasecki gave an account of the work that's been done in Philadelphia by the Christian bikers. And Mark was really happy because it was over by 10:30, right? but it was, Mark, wasn't it? Wasn't it a great Saturday morning? Yeah, the food was wonderful. Tony Tullio's testimony, wasn't that great? Right, Mike? Wasn't it? It was fantastic, wasn't it? It really was, eh? Yeah. And so I thank God for my family. Right? I thank God for my church family. I thank God that I was able to travel in the past month to a number of different churches, blessed by all of them, sure. But this is my family. Right? And there is an intertwining between the family of the Godhead, his expression in the family of the church, and in the families that we've been placed into by natural birth. What a wonderful family of God. What a wonderful family of God. Oh, Saturday afternoon, the Lenses are out there digging up the gardens out here so that the Early Learning Center has the mothers seeking God. You know, all the stuff that's going on, it's just fantastic. It's fantastic. And so, what a wonderful family of God. You might think I'm biased. I am. Totally. All right, back to Ascension Day. It's actually one of the earliest Christian festivals. I don't know, we forgot about it. But it's one of the earliest Christian festivals. There are celebrations of Ascension Day stretching right back to AD 68. That's quite some time ago, isn't it? It's a time when Jesus is taken up into heaven. And in Acts 1, Luke writes to the God-fearer Theophilus, and he wrote all about the things that Jesus began to do and teach. All right, so it's up there. Good. Okay, so he was teaching. Jesus was teaching about right up until the day he's taken up into heaven. He gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen, and then after suffering on the cross, he presented himself again to them, and he gave convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. Spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. Because John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of people who will say baptism with water is really important, but there's a huge emphasis placed there on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many churches do not give prominence to the baptism of the Holy Spirit as Jesus does here. What Luke is doing, he's taking what he's received and he's passing it on, as Paul says, as of first importance. So verse 6, they gather around him and they ask him, when are you going to come back, Lord? And he says, mind your own business. It doesn't really matter. It's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has sent by his own authority. This is not what's important to you. What's important is that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's what's important, because you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says, that's what's important. Right now, let's take a little bit of a check. How often do we occupy our mind with things that are not important in terms of the standard that's set here? How often do we focus our mind on things that in reality are not all that important at all? This is what he says is important. This is what he says is important. And after he said this, he's taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hides him from their sight, and their, you know, look, if I wish it could happen to me. You know, I would love to be, say, 20 feet up in the air looking down on all you guys. And what would you guys be doing if that happened? You would be, what the heck has happened to Phil? The word intent would not describe your fixation on what I was doing. The cessationist would be yelling out, look at that sinner, he's levitating. All right, and the Johnsonites would be saying, wow, that's outside the box, praise the Lord. You know, and those are all that's how we tend to think as believers. You know, it's crazy. But Jesus, up he goes. And just like the rest of us, they're there and they're gazing intently. Wow. Ryan, did you see that? They were gazing intently into the sky. And then these people appear alongside of them. These people appear alongside them, except they're not people. They're angels. And they say, and they're righteous because they're dressed in white. That's a clue there. And men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand looking into the sky? You know, people have done this. I believe it was in New York where somebody stood on a street corner or something and just looked up into the sky, and before long he had a huge crowd standing around him looking up into the sky. And so men of Galilee or men in New York, whatever, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. All right? Hold that. Because it is written there as of first importance for your encouragement. Whenever the Bible talks about, and you can go on through the New Testament and you'll see where they're talking, Paul talks, for example, about the second coming, and he goes on to say, so encourage one another. So encourage one another. He's coming back. He's coming back. He really is. He could come back this afternoon, Steve. You know, I don't know. He could come back tomorrow, could come back 20 years, maybe 200 years. I don't know. But we're to encourage each other by the fact that Jesus Christ has stated that he is returning. He is returning. Every time we have communion, we celebrate the Lord's death until he comes. Right? He's coming back. He's coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says this. It's something that he received from the Lord and passed on as first importance. He says, for the Lord himself, describing the second coming, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. The whole of heaven's going to be involved in this. And with the trumpet of God. And what for? For us. Right? Just read that again. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, hey, Underwood, stop what you're doing and look up here. Because I'll be doing something irrelevant. Watching some rugby or something stupid. And then there'll be another voice. Hey! The voice of the archangel. And there's going to be a trumpet. So it's going to be do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, all right? There's going to be a trumpet as well. And it's for us. The dead in Christ will rise first. So those who are the bodies that are in the grave, because they're not in the grave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You understand that, don't you? That when you die, you don't go and sleep in the grave. Only your body goes into the grave. Your soul is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. For goodness sake. All right? That's another thing to be excited about. You know, don't believe in soul sleep. Terrible thing. All right? The dead in Christ will rise first. All right? Then we who are alive and remain, if we're in that terminal generation, if we who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Encourage one another with these Lord's words that have been passed on to you as of first importance. To live, Paul actually said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. All right? The better thing, he's saying, to happen to him would be if I died and went to be with the Lord. That would be fantastic. Right? But he's saying that I don't is to Christ's benefit. Right? And so that's how it is with us. That's how it is with us. We're to be Christ in this world, and that is to his benefit. So let's encourage ourselves with Psalm 56, verse 4. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? We have enemies, world, flesh, devil. This world is going to try and entice us into going down its path. Look around. You know, look around. Stuff's happening now that we never thought we would see on the face of this earth. My goodness me. And if you don't join in, the intention is to coerce you to being a part of it all. But no, having done all, we're to stand. We're to stand and we're to be righteous and we're to do what is right, even when the rest of the world says, no, that's not right, that's wrong. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What can the world do to me, really? When we know that we're destined for the throne of God. Destined for the throne. What a wonderful phrase that is. We are destined. Can you say that with me? I am destined for the throne. I'm destined for the throne. So, don't be swayed by what this world would try and coerce you into. Because there is a greater future for you than what the world has to offer you. This world passes away. How many people remember, well, let's pluck a name out of the air. I saw this guy the other day. I was a great fan of him. How many people here remember Kris Kristofferson? All right? So about half a dozen hands go up. All right? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? You know, watch it on, if you remember that name. All right, it's good to go on to YouTube and watch him singing that, because he actually tells the story of how he just found himself. He was taken to church by a lady, right? And he found himself having an experience with God, totally unexpected experience with God. Went up to the front of the church, and the pastor prayed for him. You know, he still knows the name of the pastor. And then out of that came that song, "Why Me, Lord?" How many of you remember that? All right, see, no hands go up. All right, the world passes away. That's my illustration. The world. Somebody as well known as a guy who was a Rhodes Scholar. I don't know whether you knew that about him. But a singer known right across America, right, who wrote a song that everybody used to whistle. Right, it's gone. The world passes away. So why would you put your trust in the world? It passes away. Don't put your trust in the world. What you have been told as of first importance is that you're going to be on the throne with God. You're in the family of God. All right? So there's that. There's the world. There's the flesh. There's the aspects of the flesh that just, you know, I opened the fridge yesterday morning while I was getting things ready for the men's breakfast, and hello, what's in the fridge? Some of Paula's chocolates. I immediately consumed two for breakfast. Anybody here ever had Paula's chocolates? Yep, you go for them, right? Especially when they're free. You know, jump in there and get them while you can. All right, so that's the flesh at work in me. I could have actually done without those chocolates, agreed? You think I could do without those chocolates? All right, so that's the flesh. All right, we're constantly fighting against things simple as, you know, eating, or maybe as bad as temper, maybe as bad as our attitude towards other people. We're not living the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness that we are meant to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not doing that. We're somebody saying something to us, and we're carrying it around, and it's killing us. Well, this morning we were encouraged to overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. Cast that thing down. Cast that anger. You'll get angry, of course you will. But as soon as you come to your senses, cast it down. Don't try and justify it. That's me. All right? That's me. They said blah, 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 blah. You know? No. Cast it down. And the power of the Holy Spirit will enable you, as you confess it to God, He's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you will walk on in the power of God as an overcomer. Amen? Yes. That's the family of God at work. And don't get mad when somebody in the family of God tells you to do that. Isn't that the worst? You know, when somebody in the family of God recognizes that you're in a funk, a totally deserved funk. Something's happened, and you deserve how you feel. And somebody else, just kind of not using these sorts of words, but just simply says, somebody in your family, somebody like, you know, let's say Keith Hall down there said to me, "Oh, well, it was your fault, you were speeding." You know, or something like that. You got what you deserved. All right? And he's right. He's right. But I go and put it into the offenses category. All right? Don't I? Anybody else like this here? Yeah. That's what we're to cast down and live in victory over. Cast it down and live in victory over the flesh. Because what can you do about it anyway? Look, if you have a problem with somebody else, give it to God. And you watch him work on somebody else. He'd probably start by working on you, by the way. From my experience. Yeah. Okay. So the reason I'm saying this is that we put your trust in God. Don't fear the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, I was thinking about this as I was preparing. If the devil, in all of his ugliness, appeared in front of you, what would you do? You'd smack him? Good response. Right. You'd say, "Get there." Yeah, we like to think these things, don't we? You'd laugh at him, would you? Well, you know what I think I would do? Exactly. You're telling the truth. These romantic notions over this side are totally unconvincing to me. All right? They're romantic notions. Charlie, we would run. We would squeal like stuck pigs. Right? And we would run in the opposite direction. And then we'd get a few paces along and we'd look over our shoulder, or Charlie would probably fall over. No, don't take the picture that far. No. We'd just be running and you would fall over and I'd have to stop and pick you up because, you know, we're brothers, right? Right? And I'd look around and I'd see that the devil's limping after me. And that would make a difference, because then it would I'd suddenly realize, wouldn't I? Hey, he's been defeated at the cross. Then I would turn around and I would laugh at him. I would say, get behind me. And I would smack him in the face. You'd knock him out with a baseball bat. All right? Okay. How's that? All right? Trust in God and you will have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Stay in the family of God. In all of this, I want us to really focus on who Jesus is, what Jesus taught and what he said, and pass it on as first importance. It's really important that we do that. I have a friend called John Dreyer. He's a pastor down in Baltimore. And I want to move on a little bit now to John Dreyer saying, hey, belief and action cannot be separated. If there is a separation between what we believe and how we live our lives, there's a problem. But that problem is overcome by allowing the family of the Godhead to dwell in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we were told this morning. It's the Holy Spirit that will enable you, empower you to overcome. It's his task. It's what he's called. Belief and action cannot be separated, and the way to guarantee that is to make sure we're going to do the human thing. We are going to do the human thing, but when we wake up and take a breath, right, when we snap out of whatever has got a hold of us, Holy Spirit is going to quietly speak to us and give you the action to do. And if you do listen to him, and if you do what he's telling you to do, then you will see success. So how do I bring all that down to the family of God and church? I started off by talking about how blessed I am by the family of God. You know, the representation, the expression of the family of God on this earth right now until the end of this age, it's called the family of God age. It's called the church age. We live in the church age. That's why the devil, I remember years and years and years ago saying, in this land, the church is going to be attacked as never before, because in these last days in which we live, the enemy is going to do his best to take down family. He's going to tell children that they're not boys or girls. Of course he is. He's going to tell fathers, he's going to tell Charlie, well, it's okay, you can become Charlotte. That was in the news this week. Right? Yeah, there's an attack on the family. Yeah, what God says is that we've been placed, every person in this world has been placed into a family of God's choice. Nothing happens when it comes to family. Family is a concept. Remember we talked about fractals once? Fractals are things that exist throughout all of creation. Science is just catching up with them, and they're repeated patterns. Family is a fractal. Family is a concept or an idea that's repeated. It has its archetype, its genesis, its beginning, its design in the family of God in heaven, in the family of the Godhead. And then that same concept is taken, and it's been placed by God on this earth. Family is God's ideal. It's not just an idea, it's his best idea. All right, and it reflects the family of the Godhead here on earth. All right now, and so of course it's going to be under attack. Of course it's going to be under attack. You know, and it might be that you're sitting there thinking, well, man, the family I come from wasn't that hot. You know, or the family that I'm involved in now, it ain't that great. I'm not talking about the perfect little American nuclear family here. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that we have in our hands and in our hearts, and we have a concept in our minds of the family of God that comes from God himself, and that if you place God at the head of your natural family, then you will see him start to work in your natural family. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not one of these guys that's going to stand up and say, well, because there's no father, you can't have a family. Or because there's no mother, you can't have a family. Or because there's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, no, no. What I'm saying, forget that. All right? What I'm saying is put God at the head of your family. I can remember sitting at my family's when I was a kid, about John's age. We had the kitchen table. It was a large kitchen table for a large family. Right, and my mother, my Irish mother, who I think was very similar to your mother in many ways, my mother had put a plaque up on the wall saying, "God is the head of this family." Right, he is, and it went on. He's the father. He's the da 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 da. I can't remember the other stuff, but I do remember, God is the head of this family. Make God the head of your family. It's his intent and design that God be the head of your family. I'm going to finish up here because I do want to finish with one story. I just want to check and make sure that I haven't missed out anything important. The gathered church, for example, Romans. I think there's a scripture, Romans chapter 9. The gathered church is the sons and daughters of the living God. That's, you know, you're not just bums on seats here right now. Right? You got that? You're not just attending. You're not just attendees. Right? This is the gathered family of God. Do you understand that? That's why what we're doing right here and now is important. If we were just attending a performance, then we would be attending a performance. But we're not. This is the family of God gathered. This. And that elevates it out of being a meeting to a divine convocation. Right? Do you hear what I'm saying? It takes it out of just a meeting. Oh, I'm with Linda, and Linda's going, "Oh man, it's Underwood again," I know you're not doing that. I know you don't. I know that capacity. I shouldn't have picked you. I should have picked Paula. Oh, thank you. She has now given me a Linda look. It's scary, but look, it's not. It's not, yeah, Linda, look. No, it doesn't matter. I'll explain it later. But you know, we could be sitting here and I could be sitting with you and with Greg and we'd just be sitting here, right? We're attending something. It could be, we could be attending a performance of your students, right? And that's all, we're just attending, right? But this is a divine convocation. Do you understand? That people are invited to a divine convocation. God is present in a divine convocation. This morning, God spoke to us and said, enjoy the divine convocation. That's what it started out right there. Enjoy. Enjoy being in the family of God. You know, look, if you're really honest, if it wasn't for the family of God, how many people in this room would you know right now? None. If it wasn't for the family of God, how many people could you stand in this room right now? Ooh. Really? You know? Seriously. We're here because God has placed something in our hearts. His Holy Spirit bonds us together, right? We're the family of God. And this, right here and now, is a divine convocation. And that's why we sing, "Be Thou My Vision." Amen? You know it more than most people know it. Be thou my vision. What about when things go wrong? Well, we'll leave that for another day. I was going to tell a story about, you know, what does a parent do when a half-formed prefrontal cortex is standing in front of him saying, "I'm going out," and there's nothing you can do about it, right? Yeah, you remember that, you know, and you're thinking in terms of the stuff you learnt in psychology, you know, she can't go out. She's only got a half-formed prefrontal cortex. How many people thought like that? No. But that's what's going on. Because since the age of nine, this is why it's so much harder to raise daughters than guys. Because it starts later with guys, you see. But at the age of nine, those hormones, they're on the move. But that's for another day. Our Father God, He doesn't think like that either. He welcomes us into His presence. And He calls us to overcome via the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, before I came up here, you know, you do all this preparation for these things. And before I came up, the Lord really spoke to me about, because I'd watched a movie, and I know that there are a lot of people who just can't handle life, you know. And you know, I used to think, well, all that we've got to do is just get in front of them and speak life, you know. And then it suddenly struck me this morning, no, you have got to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin and unrighteousness. And so I want to leave you with that. I want to leave you with the fact that we are in the family of the Godhead, that we are its expression here on earth, and that, as you said, Steve, we can go out there and we can reflect the goodness of God and the kindness of God and the love of God and the joy of God. But it doesn't take root unless we're praying at the same time that those people that God has put us in front of, we're praying for them. Holy Spirit of God, convict them of sin and unrighteousness, so that then they are able to see the love and the joy and the peace that a person gains from being accepted into the family of God. Amen? Does that all make sense to you? Yeah, let's bow our heads. Father God, help us to focus on what's important. Help us to see, Lord, that which is not of first importance. Help us to put that back to where it should be. Lord, help us to focus on the fact that, Lord God, you have placed the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, representing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, speaking of the Father and of the Son. The Word says that, you know. Doesn't speak of Himself, but speaks of the Father and Son. Speaking into our hearts of the very Godhead itself, the nature and character of God, being empowered to live the nature and character of God despite all of our imperfections. God, help us, I pray. God, show us how we can overcome, as we've been told this morning. Thank you for that song. Make yourself the all-encompassing, overwhelming vision. Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision. Be overpowering. God, Wednesday, 10 o'clock. Thursday, 1 o'clock. Whenever it is, Lord God, help us to focus on you. Not on the world, not on the flesh, not on the devil, but help us to focus on you. Amen? Amen. Be empowered. Be empowered in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Ryan.